You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Brethren, we've looked at positional authority before, but we need to continue to look at how important it is, because it's a vital part of being in submission to God. But do we interpret scriptures? People should be asking us that. And I say that every man is called to be the elder of the Church of Yeshua, the Messiah, in his house. And in order to do that, one of the 780 New Testament commandments is to study to show thyself approved unto God, not unto men. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, you could wrongly divide the word of truth and get the Bible by taking things out of context to become pretext for any kind of false doctrine you want to promote. But the issue is that the man of God should study in order to be able to rightly divide it. And it doesn't just happen. It does require some effort. But if we are willing to turn it as reproof, the Holy Spirit will fill in all the gaps. Jesus very strongly chastened religious folk who showed ignorance of the scriptures because they should have known better. They were religious leaders presenting themselves as religious experts. And Jesus said to them, "Did you never read the scriptures?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." And Jesus answered them and said, "Do you not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Search the scriptures," he said. And Paul said the same thing. Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. And since it was God who commanded us to search and to read and to study, to rightly divide the word of truth, then by his authority, we should obey, and we must obey, brethren. For the same God who commanded us to read and study also said, "Turn you at my reproof." And this is the key. If we will turn at the reproof of the Holy Spirit as we look at the Word and receive it like a child, not trying to make it say things different than what we want it to say, but receiving it for what it is, the very Word of God. And if we will turn at his reproof, God says, "Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and will make known my words unto you. So in order to study to show ourselves approved unto God, this receiving of reproof from the Holy Spirit, or whoever the Holy Spirit might choose to use to bring us reproof, is vitally important. We see so many today, it's an earmark, a hallmark of our generation. We're living in a generation which is without reproof. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Half-hearted effort isn't going to get it. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men. And notice, God does not say just to the teaching ministers, but to all men, liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. What's the requirement? Just ask. God is the source of all true wisdom. And this promise in James 1:5, we should thank God for it every time we pick up the Bible to read and ask him for wisdom and receive it by faith. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If a man does not believe God and step out in faith to obey him in all his ways, including the systematic study of the Scripture, then that man will receive nothing from the Lord. Now, that may not be what you hear in most of the modern prosperity gospel churches, but, brethren, shoot me down if that word is not rightly divided. And perhaps this is why so many do not read the Bible. They simply do not believe the promises of God, nor obey his commands by faith. And I'll tell you that one common denominator exists for every backslider that ever backslid. Doesn't make any difference what they backslide into. They all left off reading the Scriptures. And a sure sign of the Holy Ghost is the hunger given for the Word of God. And so we'll make no apologies that we stay Word-focused. You can go and have a bull session any place out on the net. That's easy. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. That's what it says in Titus 2:15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Yeah, rebuke. It's not nice. But it's a command of the Lord. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now here we have God telling us that we have all authority. Yeah, did you see that? Titus 2:15. God's telling us we have all authority to speak and exhort and rebuke. So, by what authority do you and me and Billy Graham and George Bush or the Pope interpret Scripture? Let's suppose that we all sat down in the Oval Office with George and Billy and the Pope. Well, you know the Pope's going to jump right up and tell you that only he has such authority, and Billy and George would probably say amen. But what about you and me? If the Pope was not in that Oval Office with the rest of us, George would probably tell you that he gets his Bible interpretations from Billy. And maybe that's the problem. But again, what about you and me? I say to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to or contradictory to the King James Version Holy Bible, they are in error and they're wrong. I say you're a liar, Mr. Pope, and I'll tell you that if you think it's nice or if you don't think it's nice. I'll tell that to Billy Graham or the Pope. So it's not a question of anybody thinking I'm ever picking on them or respecting persons, because God says all of us are called. called to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And the Roman popes really do claim that they alone can interpret the Word of God. And the Pope says that this task of interpreting the Word of God is not given to each and every believer. Well, the Word of God says otherwise. But the Pope says it's not even given to the theologians, but only to the teaching authority of the Church. Brethren, that's that Nicolaitan spirit that Jesus says twice in Revelation 2:16 and 15 that he hates. And people who know what God has said in the Scriptures should run from that sort of authority, or at least demand that the Pope walk through a wall so we could all see what a glorified body looks like. We all know in part and we all prophesy in part, brethren. We've got to stay teachable. All of us are ignorant of more things than we know. In meekness, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, 25-26, in meekness, instruct those that oppose themselves, if peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Brethren, you cannot overstate how important this is. Acknowledging the truth. Well, what is truth? Pilate says. What a question. Here he's got truth personified standing right in front of him. He says, what is truth? Well, the Word of God is truth. But acknowledging the truth is so vitally important. And they may recover if they will acknowledge the truth. They can't recover if they won't acknowledge the truth. See, that's always the first step of deliverance and recovery. It's the first step to repentance and the grace of God, is acknowledging the truth. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. In meekness. Don't retaliate when they resist. Don't retaliate. And that's what meekness is, the ability to endure the insults of those who we are trying to instruct that they are opposing themselves. They don't know they're opposing themselves. They don't like to be told that they're opposing themselves. So be ready for them to insult you. You got to have meekness because they are going to insult you. They don't like to hear that they are opposing themselves. But that's what the Word of God says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And people, when they're snared by the devil, most of them, they don't know. That's what's so deadly about it. They don't know. The Word of God means the written word. And where does the Bible teach that only the written word is the Word of God? Well, it's there, brethren. Shouldn't we also pay attention to church traditions? After all, 2 Thessalonians says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have learned, whether by word or by our epistle. Would this put the oral tradition on the same level as the written Word of God? No way, brethren. I'll tell you, the Jews are famous for this. In fact, this is what Jesus, who was a Biblicist, if there ever was, matter of fact, his name is called the Word of God. So, the greatest Biblicist of ever was, or ever could be, is the one who is called the Word of God. But that's what Yeshua was constantly rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees about. So what does 2 Thessalonians 2:14 mean? Well, if we thought that it gave credibility to the oral traditions, then Paul would be teaching to follow traditions only if you made the very incorrect assumption that the traditions Paul was speaking of were different from the written word. But not so. That's an assumption you don't want to make. Paul said, whether by word or by our epistle. Okay, this means that the tradition that he's speaking of was already written in his epistle, Yes, it was. So whether or not you heard it spoken or read in the epistle, you were to stand fast on it. And you think Paul would write anything that wasn't supported by the Word of God? I don't. Had Paul said we should stand in the oral traditions and the epistles, there might be room for lovers of that oral tradition and rabbinic religious stuff to have a leg to stand on. But as it is, Paul is very clear that the tradition was already written in the epistle, whether by word or by our epistle. You see, it is very clear, brethren. And also, if you look up that Greek word for tradition, you're going to notice that it says specifically Jewish traditional laws. We're not talking about Roman or Jewish or Orthodox traditions, which they claimed evolved. Paul could not possibly have meant that we were to stand on traditions that would not evolve for 1,000 years down the line, especially in light of the scripture where Paul says that he did not shun to declare the whole counsel of God. So the tradition that Paul talks about could not be the same traditions that Rome or the Jews or the Orthodox or any denomination talks about, brethren. Not so. Don't let them try to suck you into that one. It's not rightly dividing the word of truth at all. We should also understand that even the scriptures do not put tradition on the same par as the scripture. Beware lest any man spoil you. In fact, is what the Word of God says. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. There's the Word of God saying, beware these traditions, brethren. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It's a very clear statement. Colossians 2:8. Where does the Bible say that it alone is your final authority? Well, mark this one down, because it's important. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And we ought to notice that the King James Version said, holy scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Even Rome admits that when it says holy scriptures, it's speaking of the written word of God and not tradition. And here we have Paul speaking to Timothy, telling him that the only necessary thing to make him wise unto salvation is the holy scriptures. And in Romans 15:4, Paul talks again about the written word as scripture. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. It's very clear that Paul is placing the written word above all. And he does the same over in 1 Corinthians 4:6, where he says that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. And 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Yes, brethren, the Bible was written more for us than anybody else. We can understand it better than anybody that's gone before us. By the Holy Ghost, of course, because there are so many things that were sealed up until the time of the end. And brethren, I can say with confidence, these things are not sealed up any longer. Us, yeah, it was written to us, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Hello? Yes, us. Us is us. We best pay very much attention to that which is written in the King James Version Holy Bible. And I'll tell you, Braden, that with the knowledge and faith of a child, you can take that King James Version Holy Bible and the Holy Spirit, and you can correct the errors of the pseudo Greek and Hebrew scholars and rabbis and even fuds, thuds, and duds. There is no threat to the host of hell like teaching on the glory of Messiah, that is, who we are called to be in Yeshua, who we are called to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet it's always with fear and trembling that we begin to teach about the glory of Messiah. For if we teach the glory of Messiah without a firm and reinforced foundation of the fear of God, we're going to end up setting people up to crash and burn. And that's part of what is behind the destruction that is being wrought by this mystical model of Christianity. That mystical model seeks to touch the glory of Messiah apart from the foundation of the written word of God and the fear of God. And sadly, that mystical model has replaced the biblical model in many churches in this great falling away from the faith of these last days. And what it does is it causes a searing of the conscience. Their conscience gets seared with a hot iron so that many in what is called the church today really have their consciences deadened, seared with a hot iron. The fear of God is his treasure. You find that in Isaiah 33:6, tremendous memory verse. And we need to always be looking at that fear of God, because the fear of God is something that is learned. You don't get it all in one bite or one setting. No, you learn the fear of God. The glory of Messiah is found in the fear of God, brethren. You'll find counterfeit deceiving spirits if you seek to walk in the glory of Messiah outside of the fear of God. And we need to understand that the fear of God is learned, and we never outgrow our need for strengthening that foundation of the fear of God. What we're trying to talk about is by what authority we do walk in the glory of Messiah. It's a positional authority which we have in him. Brethren, it's the mystery of the ages, and it's so much more important for us now to understand the mystery of the ages than it is the mystery of iniquity. What is the mystery of the ages? Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is the greatest threat to the powers of darkness. When believers who have learned the fear of God, you've got to get the fear of God foundation first, and this is what's so damnable about once saved, always saved. It destroys, totally destroys the foundation of the fear of God. And we need to understand more fully who we are called to be in Messiah. We're living in the last days, at the time of the end. And we see proof of this in this growing thick darkness of this Antichrist war on the saints. And yet, the light always overcomes the darkness. You see, the darkness cannot stand against the light. The light always overcomes the darkness. And as it gets darker, the light is seen to be even brighter as that darkness thickens. Hallelujah. What a blessed hope we've got, brethren. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And he that honors not the Son does not honor the Father which has sent him. And he that hears my word, Jesus said, and believes on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. God, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And he called his 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all devils, and to cure diseases. These things speak, and exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Brethren, that's the word of God Almighty, who cannot lie, and has all power and authority to back up his words, and to make them come to pass. And we see this power and authority manifest, not first with physical eyes, but with the substance of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. If you have to see it, then it's not faith. The heart cry of Messiah, Yeshua, is, When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Not the faith in your faith that they teach in Christian occultism, but real faith in God. The faith of Messiah in us, the hope of glory. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your faith better be based upon God said so. And you can't take somebody else's word for that. You've got to read it and see it and know it by the Holy Spirit for yourself. You can't trust anybody. Jesus said we've got one teacher that we can trust. Brethren, we are called to be a representative, a literal ambassador for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. The government that you and I represent was established by Jesus Christ and is in fact the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Our Savior and Lord is king over any other king anyone else may serve. King Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is also the only begotten Son, the only begotten Son of God Almighty, the Creator, Redeemer, and Owner. Yes, he is Creator, Redeemer, and Owner. The Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, is Creator, Redeemer, and Owner of the fullness of the whole earth. And he is going to be everybody's ultimate and final judge. Now, by adoption, when we're born again, we become a member of the family of God. And this family of God is called Israel, which means one who is born again and has power with God and with man, one who has been bought with a price and is no longer his own. This is where it gets a little sticky, see, because we're vain creatures. But we have been bought with a price. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, okay? If you've been redeemed now, you don't have to get a hold of this. You're not your own anymore. And that means we have to submit this self-will. And brethren, that's not easy. But it's something that we must do. We must submit this self-will to do the will of the Father. And we're talking about somebody who, from the heart, obeys all 10 commandments of God's royal law of love, life, and liberty. You see, God, by blood sacrifice adoption, is indeed our Father. Hallelujah. All glory to God. Your Father is the one true living God Almighty. Brethren, that's what we got to grab hold of. And since there are many gods, when we say God, everybody needs to be made to know that we mean the Creator, the Almighty, the I Am. Some people want to call him Yahweh, or YHVH, or Jehovah. But that's really a nonsense word. But all of these refer to the one who gave us life. And you can call him what you want, but I'll tell you something. There's no greater privilege than to be able to call him your father. All glory to God. I'll tell you what, it's some of these secret name pronunciation people, I just shake my head. I say, my goodness, has it really come to that? You want to have some occultist-type magic word when you've got the privilege to call the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ your Father, you want some other name? Man, oh man, shake yourself. Get serious. And there's no name that compares with that. My goodness, you're a citizen of heaven. Yes, we're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And we should be able to claim diplomatic immunity from any earthly jurisdiction as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent the King of Kings. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And any and all earthly powers and jurisdictions should know and receive what we're saying when we speak by the Holy Ghost. All earthly powers would be well advised when we speak by the authority of the Word of God to hear us as though God were pleading to them through us. We are to implore all on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. We're a part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God Almighty's own special people. King Jesus said to those of us whom he has sent, and brethren, there's a big difference between went and sent. He said, I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. All glory to God, brethren. You are an executive of the supreme law of the land. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first and great commandment, and the second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. You want to know what the law of the land is? There is none higher than that, brethren. I don't care what they say. They got thousands and bazillions. We can reduce it down to two. And really down to one. The kingdom of heaven exists now. And we are the kingdom's ambassadors. That's our problem, brethren. We don't understand who we really are in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. What do we say? Repent and believe the gospel. Man, it's good news. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Hallelujah. Repent and believe the gospel. What else have we got to say? We have authority from King Jesus. He's the one that sends us. We've got authority for using the highways. And Jesus commanded his followers, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Go, therefore, he said, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. King Jesus is the true owner of all highways. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. He said, I am God, your God. Every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all its fullness, saith the Lord. King Jesus Christ said, whoever receives one of these little children, and in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Whosoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say unto you, he will by no means lose his reward. It's up to us. We have a duty, brethren. It's part of the duty of love that we must give warning for those who cause stumbling. Jesus Christ said, whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it'd be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he'd be thrown into the sea. You must give the warning. We don't really have any choice. Whether they hear or whether they forbear is not the issue. We've been given a command of the king that we must give warning. Do not reject the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus said, whatsoever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which cling to us we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say unto you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. That's strong, brother, but that's the word of God. I hope this gives you some idea of who you are called to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is not ashamed to call you his brother or sister if your heart is set, as his was set, to do the will of the Father in heaven, not our own self-will, to do the will of the Father. If anyone would think to harm you, they don't know your big brother. And if they don't know your big brother, it is certain that they cannot know your Father. Hallelujah. We do have authority, brethren. We have authority over all the power of the enemy. And it is by faith. We are called now to give a testimony and a witness against the evil powers of this world. And Lucifer and Satan the devil and every demonic power attempting to operate in this earth. We are called to give a testimony and a witness against these evil powers of this world. Jesus taught with authority, brethren. And his authority was recognized by all, including the devil himself. Satan himself could not resist the authority. Jesus gave us the example of how that we also are to resist the devil and have victory over Satan and all this host of hell by speaking with authority. It is written. It is written. It is written. You see, that which is written is the word of God and carries the authority of God. When Jesus said, get thee hence to Satan, Satan got hence, brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Glory to God. Brethren, God is God, and God cannot lie, and God does not change. If God said it will happen, it will happen exactly as he said. God has all authority and has absolute power and freedom. God is God. He is the source of all other authority and power. Brethren, no one can be in authority unless they're under authority. This is so important for us to understand. I'm going to say it again. Brethren, no one can be in authority unless they are under authority. It's impossible. You cannot be in authority unless you're under authority. When we are submitted to God under his authority and walking in faith and obedience, when we are submitted to God like that, under his authority, walking in faith and obedience, then we are walking in authority, which can make the whole host of hell tremble. And there's no room in this submission to God for rebellion and self-will. Absolutely. You've got to understand what your place is, and you got to stay in your place. There's no room in this submission to God for rebellion and self-will. Part of that submission is recognition by the Spirit of the call of God upon other people, just as well as ourselves. part of that submission is the recognition by the Spirit of the call of God upon other people. It's just as important as recognizing a call on yourself. And many get knocked out of this submission to God that is required to be able to resist the devil at this point. Many get knocked out. Brethren, it is so vital that we understand that it simply is impossible. No way can we be in authority unless we are under authority. I can't stress that too much. There's just no way you can overstate that reality. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He is God. He is the I Am. He is the God who transcends time and space with all authority, who took upon himself flesh to become the once for all perfect sacrifice required by his own perfect justice to redeem sinners. It is settled and enforced by God and his holy angels and saints that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And God, brethren, don't miss this, God gives it to whosoever he will. And we must, by the Spirit, recognize to whom God has given positional authority in relation to us. Brethren, this is part of walking in the Spirit. This is a big, vital part of being in submission to God. God's sovereign power over all kings and kingdoms is a fact. And the devil and his wicked agents try to deny this fact. And it's sad how poor the understanding is of the authority of God in his redeemed children. His born-again children of God need a better understanding of this. You see, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, he's a totally defeated foe. And yet, his agents will use the power of forces and illegal and ungodly laws of men to try to deny this fact of the kingdom of God. And Satan can only exercise power of force over the saints of God by deceit, by deception, ignorance, and fear. And yet the kingdom of God is fact, brethren. That kingdom of God is within the born-again children of God. That kingdom of God within his saints represents the greatest threat to the host of hell. While the devil and his agents have any power left to operate in this earth, those who are saints, who understand the kingdom of God and the principles of the kingdom of God, represent the greatest threat to the whole host of hell. The mystery of the ages, this kingdom of God within the children of God, is Messiah Yeshua in us, by his Spirit, the hope of glory. That is the mystery of the ages, and that's what we've got to get a better handle on. The substance of that hope, like all substance and evidence of whatever hope that we have, is faith, brethren. It's faith. That is the substance of whatever we're hoping for. It must be faith. And faith, if it's going to be real and powerful faith, must be based upon what God said. And since God has all power and authority, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus made the kingdom of God central in his preaching. All of it was about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. More than 100 references to this kingdom appear in just the Gospels. The true God is the God who identified himself to the world as the God who let the children of Israel out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And any God who cannot make that claim is a false God. There is one true God and a whole world full of false gods. the true God sets free from bondage, and every false god is a control freak. And since the true God sets free from bondage, we must choose to bind ourselves to Him. Every false god seeks to ensnare us into bondage. Now, we have eternal security as long as, and only as long as, we choose to bind ourselves to the true God and to be under His authority, walking in obedience and submission to Him. Then we're walking in authority. You cannot be in authority, brethren, if you're not under authority. It don't work. It's impossible. That's when we're walking in authority, when we are walking in obedience and submission to Him. And this authority gives both freedom and legal rights in a kingdom greater and more powerful than anything on earth. God gave authority to human beings over nature. He gave authority to husbands over their wives and to parents over their children. And violating these God-ordained positional authorities will quickly have you neither under nor in authority. You violate these positions of God-ordained authority, and all of a sudden, you are not under authority and you are not in authority. And these are perilous evil days that make many saints easily destroyed by the power and forces of the devil. Brethren, have you ever witnessed God stop a storm, heal the sick, raise the dead? The issue is faith and submission to God and discerning the will of God. The submission to God and discerning the will of God are directly related. Remember what Jesus said, not my will, but thy will. Not self-will, but the will of God. Jesus gave us such clear examples, brethren. And it all comes back to the Word of God. Jesus, Yeshua, whose name is called the Word of God. There's no authority except from God. Authority describes first the freedom and sovereignty of God to act. And second, it signifies the divinely given power and authority of Jesus Christ coming from the Father, enabling Him to forgive sin, and signifying His power to heal and to cast out demons. And He gives this power and authority to His disciples. And third, it describes the freedom God gives to His people for salvation and from bondage and legalism. And fourth, it denotes the authority that God imparted to leaders to build up the church. And fifth, it's an authority that signifies the power of God displayed through agents of destruction. Yes, in the last days. And the dominion that God allows Satan to exercise. And finally, authority describes the authorities created by God, both heavenly and worldly. Now, there's probably only about 1 in 50 today who claim to be Christians who really know the real Jesus and walk in and under His authority. And these few saints scattered abroad must come together in unity, brethren. And part of this restoration or unity is going to happen as a result of the unanimous understanding that the Holy Bible is the primary source of revelation and authority. And those traditions which any church has given authority, which do not have confirmation of the Holy Bible, must now, of necessity, be rejected, brethren. Since the 4th century, church tradition was viewed as almost of equal authority with the Bible. And in this Antichrist war on the saints, we've got to get back to that 1st century apostolic faith, which was a faith that held the Word of God as the primary and only source of revelation and authority. God loves order, but not control. I'm going to say that again. God loves and will have order, but not control. You see, God requires willing submission from a free will choice. That's why salvation is for whosoever will. Whosoever will to do the will of God rather than their own self-will. God requires this willing submission from a free will choice. God limits himself in respect to man's freedom to choose, freedom to will. That's why salvation is for whosoever will. Now, false gods are all control freaks, but not the true God. The Nicolaitan spirit is a spirit of control. And Jesus tells us twice that he hates this Nicolaitan spirit of control. Revelation 2:6 and Revelation 2:15, he hates this thing. We are all brethren, and Messiah Yeshua is the head. Now, greatness in the kingdom of God is found in serving. Brethren, it's a race to the bottom. Things such as oral traditions, which cannot be confirmed by Scripture, must now be rejected. Discernment of the call of God upon us and upon others within the body of Messiah is now essential, brethren. Self-will and rebellion must now be brought into submission to the will of God. And we see all religions of this world being brought under the control of this false prophet, Antichrist, Pope. Whatever advances the kingdom of God made by the Reformation have really been chewed up and lost and subverted altogether. And the true Pentecostal experience, for the most part today, is gone. Most of what is called Pentecostal experience today is the manifestation of deceiving and counterfeit spirits. I hate to tell you that, brethren, but it's true. The authority of the Holy Bible must be brought back to the proper place of authority and the foundation of all theological beliefs. Doctrine and practice must be entirely consistent with the Bible itself. The consistent witness of the Holy Bible is that all authority is located in God. People possess authority only as the Lord gives it. The born-again child of God receives authority of the Father as that authority is revealed in the Son and manifested by the Holy Spirit and given in and through the Bible. And it's high time that this authority be understood and exercised in the body of Messiah. I'm going to say it again. It's high time that this authority be understood and exercised in the body of Messiah and in the world. The Scripture very clearly says all legitimate authority comes directly or indirectly from God. The mystery of the ages is Messiah in us, the hope of glory. And it's time for our faith and obedience to witness the manifestation of the exceeding greatness of his mighty power for his glory. See, it's his power. And he's not going to share his glory with another, and he shouldn't. But it's time for our faith and obedience to witness this manifestation of the exceeding greatness of his mighty power for his glory and for our very hope to endure to the end. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He gave his disciples power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Yeshua. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall Antichrist corrupt by flatteries. And the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. And yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, and by captivity, and by spoil many days. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Watch out for flattery, brethren. It's a serious thing. Pastor Dow had a great message on that. Best we'll probably ever hear this side of glory. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end. Yes, some people are going to fall to be purged, and to be made white, even to the time of the end. And he said, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he follows not us. And we forbade him, because he follows not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Yeshua said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it, Jesus said. Do we really understand the meaning of in my name? You know, you hear a lot of these new sounding names floating around. Is that what it is? Some special way of pronouncing something? In his name, brethren. You know, I know you know. In his name means positional authority. That positional authority is only for those under authority. It has nothing to do with how you pronounce anything. I'm going to say it again. It has nothing to do with how you pronounce anything. That positional authority is only for those under authority. We'll say it one more time because you've got to get this. That positional authority is only for those under authority. We cannot be in authority unless we are under authority. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's really pretty simple, brethren. Children understand it. At that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me. Well, how do you show your love to the Lord? If you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, brethren, it really is simple. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent, and that receiveth you, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. And he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The mystery of the ages is Messiah in you, the hope of glory, and to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. It is now time, brethren, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Oh, brethren, you don't want these vain, powerless religions built on philosophy and men's reasoning and rationalizing why we shouldn't do what God said to do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And because you love Jesus, because you keep his commandments, the Father also loves you. And those who do the will of the Father are indeed the sons and daughters of the living God, brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The mystery of the ages now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Did you think only prophets could say, thus saith the Lord? No, you can too, when you're quoting the Word of God with holy boldness by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in English, that Word of God to quote is the King James Version Holy Bible. That is a big part of the authority of people of faith. They will say with authority that God said so. God said so. Because they know the more sure Word which is written, not because somebody told them. No, they read it for themselves. They know it by the Holy Ghost and by reading it themselves, and the Holy Ghost giving them understanding, not some man, because they know the more sure word which is written. For me and my house, that is the King James Version Holy Bible without Apocrypha. The Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches which weave these Apocrypha books into their Bibles are in trouble. Why? Revelation 22, 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. God Almighty, who cannot lie, has all power and all authority to back up his words and to make them come to pass. And we see this power and authority manifest not first with the physical eyes, but with the substance of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you have to see it, then it's not faith. And the heart cry of Messiah Yeshua is, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Not the faith in your faith of Christian occultism, but the real faith in God. The faith of Messiah in us. The hope of glory. The Word of God in us. That is the hope of glory. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Apocrypha, no thanks. No Apocrypha for me in my house. As for me in my house, we will use only the King James Version Holy Bible without Apocrypha. Brethren, we don't need anything like the Apocrypha that means hidden, because God has given us His Word, and His Word is known. It is the Holy Scriptures. The origin of the Holy Scriptures is not hidden. It is known, and we do know the origin of all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not hidden. It's given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The true God, who cannot lie, testifies that His Holy Spirit moved and directed or inspired the holy men to write that more sure word of prophecy which is written. The origin of the Holy Scripture is not hidden. We don't need any hidden wisdom, hidden knowledge, private interpretations. No, no, not in this time we don't, brethren. No, we do know, brethren. We do know based upon the integrity of the God who cannot lie that the Holy Bible is the more sure word which is written. We don't need any apocrypha. Now, today, most churches have removed the fables and the unknown origin type books from their holy Bibles, but the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox churches still include those hidden unknown origin type books. Well, brethren, I don't know about you, but I want to know that the God who cannot lie is the origin of that written word that I follow, that I believe, that I put the basis of my faith upon. Now, those apocrypha, hidden origin books, we don't need them. We don't want them. There is no need, no enduring value for us in any of those hidden origin books that certain religions want to pick up. Certain false teachers want to build perverse doctrines upon that hidden origin type of knowledge. We don't need it. We don't want it. It has no value for us. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know
that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.